right, 807 FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here. Check in with our buddy Jeff Poore in just a second. Want to give you a heads up. I've been talking about, you know, I like the discussion of fiscal policy and what it means for the country at large, but what does it mean for you at home? How about this? Interest rates are going up. You've seen that, right? If you have credit card debt, that interest rate is going up as well. I think averaging 18, 19%, some rates in the mid-20s right now as interest rates start to go up. Well, here's a way to save some money every month. If you got credit card debt, how about you lower your interest rate on that debt with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream? LightStream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate at no fees. You get a credit card consolidation loan from 5.89% APR with auto pay. They'll do loans from $5,000 to $100,000, and you can choose your funding date, which could start as early as today. Now, y'all will get the additional interest rate discount on top of that already low rate from LightStream when you go to their website and use my last name. Here's how it works. Go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. That is LightStream.com/Sullivan. That's with the two L's. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for more information. And say good morning to Lanyap and Breitbart and Yellowhammer News' and independent roving reporter himself, our buddy Jeff Poore. Hey, good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good to get you back on, and so much to talk about now. And let's talk about what happened Wednesday to start this all off as the primetime event there with President Trump announcing his nominee for Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. So you said to me, can I tell folks what we text back and forth in private, like a lot of it? Like you just said,
yeah.
Hey, you texted me Monday night, and I think I was in the middle of trying to fix a garage door opener when you said, well, I missed that one. And you were talking about the guest for the nominee. Who did you think it was going to be?
I was kind of leaning toward Kethledge, just because of the he seemed to be where a lot of the base was. He was, you know, they were all pretty solid picks, but they all had questions about their immigration policy, and the Kavanaugh pick just seemed like it was a little too Bush-esque, I guess, that he was really tight with the Bushes and Karl Rove and that sort of element in the Republican Party, that he was kind of crossed off the list early. And as for Amy Barrett, she was kind of a favorite pick, but I still think she's going to be kind of the pick down the road if Ruth Bader Ginsburg decides to step aside.
And let's talk about the Bush part, because you had said that to me in a text. You said, you know, this is a Bushy here with talking about Brett Kavanaugh. But, you know, President Trump has in the past had establishment people added to his cabinet. Okay, that's happened. Now here at a Supreme Court justice nomination, he has somebody that has. But when you say just because, is it beyond just having to have worked around the Bush White House? I mean, I know his wife was the secretary for President Bush. Is there more to this? I mean, because does the fact that you work with that administration mean your ideology is contrary to President Trump's?
Mostly no, but I think there was some questions about some of the other policy stuff, like Obamacare, mm-hmm. and just the role of the executive. Now what I'm, you know, what a lot of the smart people are saying is he's the kind of guy that's going to chip away at the administrative state. If you look back at his decisions as on the D.C. appeals court, he was one of these guys that wanted to limit the power of the bureaucracy and take and strip some of that away. So, you know, in a closer look at it, some of it kind of jibes with what Trump wants to do, and some doesn't.
Hey, Jeff, with such a thin margin of error for the confirmation process coming up, do you think that played a major role in President Trump selecting Kavanaugh? Do you think he can get through the confirmation process a little bit easier than the rest of them?
I think perhaps, with such a thin margin. There's a lot. The Democrats are going to try to weaponize the Roe v. Wade decision. And, you know, even though at face value they can't really stop it just by the numbers, I think that using it is a political hammer, just sort of a political tool. But This maybe is a safer pick than an A.B. Barrett, who would have just been hammered on that issue, on the abortion issue, and it would have kind of forced somebody like a Susan Collins to have to really answer a lot of questions, or Lisa Murkowski on the issue. So perhaps, that's why I kind of feel like it's a little bit of a safer pick for Trump to have gone in that direction.
You know, you mentioned, let's talk about the Senate confirmation process and Republican defections and how that plays in for Democrats, because there's a chance, it would tell me if I'm wrong here, but there's a chance that if all Republicans are signed on, then there'll be, a handful, maybe two or three Democrats that get on board with confirmation of Kavanaugh. But if they are going to be the 50th, they're going to be the confirming vote, then I imagine no Democrat would.
Yeah, so you don't want to be the Democrat that confirms Trump's Supreme Court justice, right? I mean, that just would put you in a bad spot with your party. But you don't want to be in your state. You don't want to be seen as some kind of obstructionist. I think it just depends on the Democrat, But to me, that's I don't know they're quite there, especially with the tiebreaker being with Pence. If they're really in the to the territory where they need to win over a Democrat.
So, Jeff, when President Trump made the announcement confirming what some may have thought they knew prior to the official announcement, were there any portions of that evening that stand out to you that make you, really be behind this pick, or maybe question why someone else was not picked?
Well, who I would have be behind, I don't know, but I think that just looking at the way I guess Trump kind of rolled it out, with the prime time offering, like it's season 4 of The Apprentice or something. it's never been done that way. It was more of the, I think, more stagecraft, more performance art than anything. So the way he did it, I don't know that we can really read too much into it.
There was even a video prior to the announcement on the White House Twitter feed that it looked like a preview for a television series that was coming up, and it showed it was the camera coming down the hallway and up to the podium where Trump ended up announcing Kavanaugh as the next Supreme Court pick. But it was weird seeing that, like they were previewing a new TV series that was beginning.
Yeah, and he didn't really do that way with this first pick with Gorsuch. So there was a lot of talk, but I think he's kind of having a television imagination with a lot of his presidential duties.
All right, I want to get into the blue senators in red states, and obviously Alabama, one of those states, and what's at play here, because you'd put something on Twitter the other day. We talked about a little bit that this ad buy is going out in the states like Alabama to pressure the Democrat senators there to vote. So, once again, I mean, who will be the 50th vote? I don't know. I don't think it would happen with Democrats. But to sign on, if they're going to be 51, 52, or 53, if you had to score Doug Jones on a confirming vote for Kavanaugh, where would you put it?
Pretty low. He hasn't shown a willingness to be that 50th or that 51st vote to be the confirming vote. The only reason I say that is you could just look back at the way he has been with some of Trump's other appointments, especially Pompeo. He waited till there were enough votes to confirm. I think that's probably where he is. Now, as for the other Democrats, I don't know, but I would expect to see Doug Jones be out in front of this trying to win over Republican votes. I just don't know that that's his play.
Well, okay, and when we come back from the break, I want to talk about that some, because is that a tell to where he thinks he's going to be in 2020? That's going to be interesting. Is he playing to the Alabama electorate because he thinks he has a chance in 2020, or is he going to play it up for the National Democrat Party? We'll find out when we join Jeff Bohr in just minutes right here on Mobile Mornings. Good
Good morning, 8:23 here on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. If you're a small business owner, well, you probably don't need me to tell you that the right hire can have a huge impact on your business. It's why it's crucial that you make sure your job post reaches the most qualified candidates that you can reach. You could try posting on job boards, but do you really know who will see it? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, their recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours, insights that are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. It's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now, if you go to linkedin.com/WAVH, they'll give you $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/WAVH for $50 off. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
All right, 8:24 FM Talk 106.5, and continue our conversation with Jeff Poor. Hey, Jeff, so the question I was trying to get to there at the end of the last segment was, is there a tell in this? If Doug Jones, and let's say that it's not the 50th vote, it's 51st, 53rd, something like that, to confirm Kavanaugh, is there any relation, is there any tell to what he thinks his chances are in 2020?
I don't know. I think the one thing you got to look at is just the gulf between of which the really hardcore blue state Democrats are opposing this. How, you know, like Kirsten Gillibrand and Elizabeth Warren and Blumenthal, Connecticut, and these guys are already opposing this pick without knowing, you know, a whole lot about it, just for by virtue of it being Trump's pick and it being a swing vote or whatever the reason. But versus how you look at some of these red state and swing state Democrats that are quiet about it, that they're, well, I need to wait and see, like Doug Jones. I say Bill Nelson in Florida, mm-hmm. Donnelly in Indiana, Heitkamp in North Dakota. They're not really out in front of this, and it's a very, I mean, it's a big contrast between the two. So that tells you this. That tells you that it may be a base play to go all out and keep the resistant riled up by opposing this, but I think in a place where the electorate's a little more moderate, perhaps not as conservative as Alabama, but moderate at least, you're fearing running the risk of being seen as some kind of obstructionist or some kind of, you know, out of the mainstream, that you're just opposing this for the sake of opposing it.
All right, and I want to jump to state politics because we're running short on time. And we next time we talk, at least in this, you know, on the morning show here, will be after the runoffs for the primary. Lay of the land right now in Alabama. What do you see happening? What do you see in the statewide races? I mean, you know, if you listen to FM Talk 106.5, you'd think the whole lot of them are the most horrible people on earth.
Right, you've seen a lot of punches thrown, yeah. And that, to me, when you start seeing those kinds of things, they come off to me as, I don't know, desperate, or they're just, you know, when you start seeing a lot of attack ads from one candidate in particular, that's the Hail Mary. But when they're both doing it, I don't know, are they both afraid that they're both going to lose? Is it really that tight? And I can't believe that there's that many there's that much polling or internal polling that's accurate enough to give a sense where the electorate's at, just because this is going to be a low turnout election, and it's hard to get a feel for what's going on. With nothing at the top of the ticket, not a lot of people are interested. Probably when you do these polls, a lot of people aren't even aware there's an election going on, so you've got to go as loud and as hard as possible.
There's a locals angle, though, that may play into this. I think it's interesting you've brought up before, as we look at two of the people in the runoff, Lieutenant Governor Slott Will Ainsworth and for Attorney General Steve Marshall. Both of those men are from or they live in Marshall County, right?
Yeah, and if you look back at the primary, Marshall County had like the state's highest turnout.
Right.
And a lot of people were like, what's going on in Marshall County with such low turnout? But there's not a lot of population centers in Marshall County. I think Guntersville, Albertville, right. Boaz, Arab. But, you know, it may be enough with two hometown boys and a lot of other places in the state to give them an edge.
Yeah, I mean, in a normal situation that there is big turnout, that would be washed away as quickly as, you know, the stream running through Cathedral Caverns up there. But in a situation where you have what I agree with you, I think the turnout is going to be anemic across the state in this runoff, that actually could amount to something.
Yeah, and it's kind of a bedroom community for Huntsville, so maybe you get some Madison County votes out of it as well. And if you get some Madison County votes, then that's where you want to look. I would also look at Baldwin County. There's some contested races over there that people are more concerned about what's going on down ballot. But it's places where there's a lot of down ballot races, and, you know, as far as that goes, they seem to all be in a lot of rural areas. A lot of these rural Senate and House districts. So you want to look where the population is and where there's a lot of ad buys and things like that. Maybe that's where you want to target these waiting days.
Speaking of then what's next, going into the general, we haven't, you know, because we've been so focused on the Republicans here in the runoff. But then we'll move into a story for the Democrats here. And the blue wave, is the blue wave coming? Is Walt Maddox surfing that pipeline on into Montgomery?
Not if you believe the polling. I think Kay Ivey has like a 25-point lead over Maddox with a lot of undecideds. That's tough. We're a long ways out. Yeah, and a lot could change, but that kind of a margin is going to be tough for Walt Maddox. I don't know where he gets the votes. I just don't think he has the name ID that Kay Ivey has, and I think that has a lot to do with it, but also the fact that running as a Democrat, you need a lot of things to line up for you, like Doug Jones had, and he just doesn't seem to be having the momentum go his way.
There he is, Jeff Boer, and I read him at Lanyap, Breitbart, also Yellowhammer News, and soon to be hosting this show once again. Jeff, as always, we appreciate your time.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on.
All right. And heads up, too, I saw some of your posts, Kelly, a second ago on Twitter, what you and our buddy Jim Cox were up to down at the Wharf yesterday.
Yes.
Getting ready for the Blue Marlin Grand Championship.
Right. But we had to preview your new studio first before we could get any work done.
So this studio here is probably, I would say, it's 12 by maybe 14. Okay. Our studio, the Opulent Studios for FM Talk 106.5 here at Bigler Broadcasting. About to step it up a little bit. Tomorrow's midday show. For the first time ever, I'm on a boat.
Ever.
On the air. I mean, I'm on a boat pretty much every weekend. But midday will be live from a sport fishing, 92-foot sport fishing yacht.
Yes. Galati will be your new middle name, if nothing else. Because I've seen this beauty.
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, what's up, Galati Yacht Sale folks? I'm going to be down on this 92-foot sport fisher tomorrow doing Midday Mobile from out in the water. Give you more details coming up. Y'all stay close. News is next.
Hey, thanks, Kane. 8:37 now on FM Talk 106.5. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to sales manager Brian Gardner. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Tell us, what's going on at McConnell Automotive today?
You know, lots of really, really great things. We've you know, we've talked about percent play in the past, and it is back. We've got percent plays all over our Buick GMC inventory right now. For example, in the Buick lineup, we've got 12% off of MSRP on Buick Enclaves right now. That's the new body style Enclave. Yeah, you've got the old Enclave, say a 14-15 model. Get by and check out this 2018 Enclave. I got 12% to offer you, lots of upgrades there. Up to 18% on Buick Encore. That's our subcompact luxury vehicle. Fantastic price point there. That's going to get you almost to $20,000 on some of these Encores. In GMC land, man, we got 15%. It's back on GMC Sierra. Come reserve you one today, because once the percent play comes around, it goes quickly. Get by and see us before 7 tonight. Percent play, it's back, y'all. Come see us.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Bye, guys.
That's Brian Gardner. You can go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 8:38 FM Talk 106.5. I need to do this before I get into a handful of other stories here, but I have yet to land this plane. I've yet to land. That is the most mellow plane ever. That's like a hot air balloon or something.
No, it's not. It's an Elon Musk plane.
So it's not been made yet.
It's all in theory. Okay, it's True TV debuted a show last night called Paid Off. Okay, Paid Off. And no, that's not what many of the political bigwigs think about me in the state of Alabama. Think, you know, no, it's not that show. It's not that kind of paid off. It's paying off your student loans. True TV stepping up a new game show. They said it's going to try to solve the problem of student loans one student at a time with a game show. Oh, gosh, y'all are so charitable, True TV. You're really helping. So the show premiered last night, question and answer type show, where contestants are young adults in their late 20s, early 30s, who are saddled with significant student loans. And, you know, I've been preaching about this a while. I think that at some point, I've been saying it for 3 years, but at some point you're going to hear this is the big, it'll be the big story. They roll forward the student loan debt bubble story. It's going to happen at some point because this stuff is insane how much folks have in loans. I have a whole rant about that for another day. But this show paid off. Instead of prizes, the show's going to reward winners by paying off their student loans. It's unclear how it's actually going to work, but it sounds like the amount the winner gets depends on their debt or how well they do. Because that would be the, like, if you had, like, $1,600 in student loans, and then, you know, darn Ivy League kid has $146,000 in debt, you know, and you both win, you know, you win. I mean, it's not the prize is not equivalent here. Producers also looked into paying off the loans with creditors directly, but the logistics and tax implications got too complicated, so the winners just get a check like a normal game show. Okay, problem, True TV, problem. Because if they're in their 20s and you're going to give them a check for their student loan amount that is they've been saddled with, if they are not responsible, they're going to say, well, I could pay that off in time. The rates are good. I'm going to get a car.
There is an option, though.
Yeah.
When they sign up to be on the game show, right? And they have to mention who has been helping them pay their bills. Okay. And so maybe that check is made out to their parents.
Now we're talking. So kid that's sleeping on mom and dad's couch.
Correct.
With the student loan, mom and dad, that would be better. Help pay off some of those groceries. Because I know with student loans, they have a mixed bag of stories about this. From years ago, there were people I went to school with that were absolutely just taking the minimum amount they needed. They could work on top and get those student loans. You know, and then there were two guys from Orlando that lived two doors down from me. That they would get student loan checks. This is God's honest truth. And they would throw huge parties when the checks would come in.
This is
just truth. I mean, they would be like, oh, dude, yeah, we're getting kegs and we're cooking like eight slabs
of
ribs.
Did you even get invited over for the party?
We had like the kind of apartment complex I lived in. People walked, it's like a sitcom. Yeah. People walked in other people's apartments all the time and all that.
Yeah, I had friends in college and even relatives in college who would get that check at the beginning of the semester, and one person I knew who I'm not as close friends with anymore because he unwisely spends his money, but bought a $5,000 TV with the loan money that he was given for one semester.
That stuff happens a whole bunch. So, I mean, there are stories. Listen, don't lump everybody in together. There are people that are saddled with debt that absolutely used it to pay for their education, did everything the right way, but understand that there's a knucklehead factor in there. So this game show is going to pay the debts off for the winners. They say the show is, they said they are self-aware that it seems like they're taking advantage of these people, but they say they're doing it to, True TV says, they're doing the show to raise awareness of the issue.
Insert eye roll.
They said it's the game show feels appropriate because the state of things right now. They said, I know this is Michael Torpy, the producer, not Torpy, but Torpy, says, I know what we're doing is a little ridiculous, but in a way the show matched my family story. The only way we could pay off student loans was because I booked an underwear ad, and that's insane. So there you go. So they're paid off, debuted last night on True TV. If you want to check it out.
Mark in the Calvin Klein ads?
Listings.
What do you think is going to come of the student loans? I mean, so many people are in such big debt, and so many people can't pay it off. What do you think is on the horizon there, Sean?
Okay, well, you're trying to tempt me into a rant. The rant is the student loan amounts have gone up because people can secure loans, and also through government loans. The tuitions have gone up because the student loans availability have gone up.
Yeah, they know that the government will pay them for whatever the cost will be.
Apples to apples. I've done this before on the show. So I graduated from the University of Alabama. I took the minimum load was 13 or 14 hours or 16 hours. And sometimes I take 16, sometimes I take 18. I worked in radio through three of my 4 years at the university. I worked in student radio, but then, like, you know, for a big paycheck when I made my $9,000 a year or whatever I made. big money. When I worked in radio up there, I depended on my work schedule in school, how many hours I took. But it cost me in tuition around $1,388 bucks a semester.
Mm.
Okay. My nephews went to University of Alabama. And at that point, this has been, you know, in the last 10 years, it was the same thing, like almost $8,000, something like that, $7,000 or $8,000. Mm. I mean, that is a huge... So what happened, I think, the school, number one, states didn't contribute as much in, but also at the same time, the availability of student loans, that they would give everybody a student loan, universities realized and colleges realized that, hey, they can go get them, we can raise our rates because they're going to loan these students the money. And now there's the whole argument, I agree, college isn't for everybody. We need to focus more on trade schools for those folks. But the kids that want to go to college, I think the universities and colleges raise rates because of the availability of money. Mm-hmm. I think if they tighten down what they did in student loans and used a more private sector model of securing those loans, then you would have a reduction or at least a stagnation in college rates going up, because the colleges would realize, well, we can't keep charging this because we don't have customers. We don't have people who can go.
It's a lot like when they were just giving home loans out to, before the crisis.
Like the Ditech ad right before the crash, when there was a Ditech ad that they would loan you 125% of your home's value, and I fell off my couch. I said, okay, we're doomed.
And then everybody's told for years and years and years that you have to go to college to make something of yourself, which is not 100% true.
It's not true.
And so anybody can get a loan, so everybody starts to go to college, but then not everybody can pay that back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're
so
on the verge of a catastrophe.
Fraught with bills.
That's right.
Ding, ding, ding. That's twice today. You win. All right. 845 FM Talk 106.5. We'll come right back. We'll get some your phone calls and text at 343-0106, 343-0106, as we roll on. Ready 51 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. We mentioned a show on the road, a midday show, a couple times this week. Going to be on the road and on a boat tomorrow. Going to be on the road live at Dean McCrary Mazda on Friday.
That's right.
Home of Maximus.
Well, you will not see Maximus with me on Friday.
Yeah, Maximus is going to the Wharf, but I'm saying, but that's his home.
No. Okay, so Maximus made an appearance at the Wharf yesterday.
Okay.
We are trading him in today.
Today?
Today.
Today.
I haven't told him yet. So, let me tell you this. So, I named him Maximus. He's been a great family addition, of course. This is the 2018 Mazda 3 hatchback touring. And as you know, Mazda is home of sedans, hatchbacks, crossover vehicles, and SUVs. There's your first hint as to what I'm going to be driving next. As for Maximus, he seats 5. He has tons of trunk space. And so I'm going to reveal a little bit and tell you what's in the trunk right now, so, to give you an understanding as to how much... I'm not going to call it junk in his trunk, but listen to this. I have a beach chair, a couple of pairs of shoes, a very full beach bag, 2 backpacks in there right now, and there's still more room for storage. So this is the type of vehicle that you may need if you have a family like we do, the Fab Five. If you're a commuter, this is your vehicle because it's easy on the gas mileage, which means more money remains in your pocketbook as opposed to at the gas station. Some of the favorites that I found in this vehicle, push button start has become one of my very, very, very favorites, if that's a word. Rain-sensing windshield wipers, never even heard of that before.
It's pretty high-tech.
I know. We talked about the 5-star rating when it comes to safety, the front airbags, the side airbags, plenty of leg room. Our children are long, and they continue to grow. So just been having a lot of fun with Maximus. But I am looking forward to saying hello to the next vehicle, and I will give you a hint.
Mm-hmm.
Because Greg said, isn't it about time for school? I said, yes. So this is going to be a vehicle that will fit our children, our family, and their friends. That's all I can tell you right now.
That's a hint.
That is your hint.
All right. Very good. And be able to come out and hang out at Dean McCrary Mazda on Friday. Be doing Midday Mobile from there starting at noon.
That's right. And if you're not quite sure where that is, Sean?
Yes?
Look for the largest American flag in the state of Alabama, right there.
Yeah, underneath that. We'll see you there. East I-65 Service Road. All right, we'll go to the phones and the text line. A lot of people texting in and calling in about student loans. I just got started on this because of this True TV show last night debuted where their pay is called Paid Off. The competitors there are vying to have their student loans paid off. John is in Mobile. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, Sean. Back when we were in college, it's amazing the student loans that were ran up for the fact that students don't know how to manage their money with student loans.
Correct.
It was so stupid how they could talk about, man, I got all these student loans, I got to pay back. So, yeah, well, how many cake parties did you have? Or how much stupidity did you waste it on? They ought to have a program that if them kids are able to get student loans, they need to show exactly that it went to the for the schooling books or housing, right, or maybe their food.
Maybe it's paid directly, John. You know, maybe it's paid directly to the universities,
right,
or in colleges.
Exactly,
maybe
right. You should
get
that's
a coupon.
Right. And but just to give them checks every month, that's just ridiculous. Because kids don't know how to manage money at that age, and they're like, man, I can't wait to get my next check, and then blah, blah, blah. And then when they get out of school, they're like, man, how am I going to pay back all this money that I borrowed?
That's
like,
it.
You idiot.
John, I appreciate the call. Listen, there were, just in my experience, both types. Just think about friends of mine and neighbors in college. There were those that were absolutely judicious with their money. They worked hard. They used that to pay for their schooling. And then, yes, the two guys from Orlando that were two doors down from me in the apartment, listen, I went to the parties. The ribs were great.
Were they the ones who get the credit card with the $500 balance and because they get the free T-shirt and the and the drink holder?
Yes, because the credit card people were always there at the
in the common
center
area.
Yeah, student center doing that. They also got, the 25 CDs for a penny thing,
yes.
And then they never canceled. Susan's in Mobile up next. Hey, Susan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good morning.
I had to just call in and give kudos to my cousin. He was 50 at the time and had all these student loan checks. So he decided a college degree and hair would be important at that age. So he went to Bosley, made an appointment at Bosley, took all his student loan money and got hair. And
Susan, hold on. Susan, he went and got he got the hair. He took his student loan money to get the hair implants from Bosley.
Yeah, I mean, that's important, right? You got to have hair if you're unmarried.
Yeah.
In college degree.
Right. Plugs or rugs?
It turned out great. He's 30-something now, but.
He looks fantastic.
Does he still have hair?
You win. Susan wins.
Cheers.
Susan wins. Yeah, that was fantastic. So he took the student loan check and got
hair. Hey, the struggle's real.
The struggle is real. By the way,
because you could have got the remember the type that you could paint it on your head, the spray hair.
The famous
Ronco?
Call if I could find the call where they, I obsess on Larry King, some about Larry King, and there was a guy who used to call Larry King's show, and he would get through, and he would ask Larry King if he painted his bald spot. And it was just fantastic. Listen, some of these amounts, this is a subject I think we're going to be talking about for a long time. We'll talk about again. We have talked about in the past. Like one of our texters here, his wife's student loans, $224,000.
What does she do for a living now?
She's got he gave me a list, a ton of degrees, and it's very well educated.
Wow.
It's a lot. I have a theory for what it's worth, and maybe we can have somebody who actually knows what they're talking about, not just postulating here. I have a feeling that as student loan availability got better, the colleges and universities raised their tuition to match the availability of the money. And as long as students could get signed off on for loans and they could raise a tuition, it raised both. I think if you tighten down on the amount of student loan money available, the colleges and universities would change their tune.
Yeah, anytime a textbook costs $400 to $600 and it's not a collector's edition, there's a racket somewhere.
You could have probably bought two or three hairs for that much money.